Next week is the start of the public interviews to be done on the candidates for the position of Chief Justice after the national trauma of the impeachment trial that resulted in the ousting of the former Chief Justice. The agency concerned, the Judicial and Bar Council, is not leaving anything to chance. In fact, the interviews will be publicly done and televised because we expect of the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court a level of maturity that sets him apart from the rest. Did you know that the minimum age requirement for the House of Representatives is 25 years old? For the Senate, the age requirement is 35. For the Vice President and the President, it is 40 years old. But for the members of the Supreme Court, while the requirement is also 40 years old, but it adds another requirement, which is that any member of the Supreme Court must be first a member of the bar, that is, a lawyer, and also that he or she has at least practiced the legal profession for 15 years. So you can see that there are more stringent measures applied for the position of the Chief Justice because it requires a maturity that is even above that of a legislator or perhaps even those of the executive. That's maturity. In the Christian life, maturity, as I said before, is not measured by age requirement or years of practice, but it does take some wisdom of experience. The mature Christian is one who is set apart by the way he sets as standard the Word of God. As we saw last week, it is between the true apostle or the super apostles, and there will be clashes in certain periods of the Christian life when you are admiring the super apostles, but the true apostle, the true apostolic word, is challenging you to a different direction. Adyan tayo mahahamon ang ating maturidad. Pipiliin ba natin yung magaling, yung kahanga-hanga, o pipiliin natin yung totoo na ayon sa salita ng mga apostol? And there is a distinction made between the mature and the immature. And in the New Testament, the authority that is identified with the Word of God is the apostolic office. And we saw that last week. Paul draws the real contrast between himself and his opponents, whom he dubbed as super apostles, in that he is the true apostle. And he is authenticated by the signs of a true apostle. Yun ang pinagpilitan ni Apostol Pablo, nakita natin nung nakaraan. May mga tanda na siyang nagpapatunay na siya ang totoong apostol, samantalang ang mga super apostol, anuman ang kahanga-hanga sa kanila, ay hindi sila ang totoong apostol. And one thing that we learn from that is that the mature stands on genuine apostolic authority, not on authoritative personality. Many issues that will challenge our maturity, as I already said, will be clashes between choosing the true as against the super. Now, it is important to know what is the real advantage, or as Paul puts it in our text, the real favor that lies in choosing the true. We are going to read only one text, one verse this afternoon, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. For in what were you less favored than the rest of the churches, except that I myself did not burden you? Forgive me this wrong. Now, here is both a gentle reminder by Paul as well as a touch of biting irony to the church in Corinth. They are being reminded of the favor they have, which is not less compared to other churches, but by irony, they are being gently rebuked for failing to appreciate this favor to the church. And you see, we too can be guilty of that. We may be a favored church without realizing it, and we are looking for other favors that we think other churches have and we don't have. So hey, I have this simple message for you this afternoon. A mature church esteems its real favor in the ministry of the apostolic word. Ang iglesyang may maturidad ay pinahahalagahan ang tunay niyang pakinabang, ang tunay niyang pabor sa ministeryo ng salita ng apostol. A mature church esteems its real favor in the ministry of the apostolic word by reminding the church that he is the true apostle with signs and wonders authenticating his office. Paul exposes the Corinthian immaturity. They are running after the super apostles when the real favor is that he has the apostolic word. Naguunahan sila dun sa mga super apostol na wala sa kanila ang salita ng tunay na apostol. Narito siya, siya ay tunay na apostol. Nasa kanya ang salita ng Diyos bilang siyang tinawag na magdala ng salita ng Diyos. Ngunit yung mga taga-Korinto, nagpapanakbuhan, nag-uunahan na makinig sa mga super apostol sa halip na dun sa totoong apostol. And so it is with the contemporary church. It is imperative that we see where the real favor is, and the real favor is where there is an apostolic word. Two challenges I want to build on this truth. First, satisfaction in anything less than the word is deceiving. Ang masiyahan sa anumang bagay ng mas mababa kaysa salita ay pandaraya. Satisfaction in anything less than the word is deceiving. Secondly, contribution by everyone for more of the word is rewarding. Ang ambag ng lahat ng bawat isa para mas sumulong ang salita ay ginagantimpalaan. So dalawang bagay dito. Unang hamon, satisfaction in anything less than the word is deceiving. Yan ang problema sa mga taga-Korinto dahil sa kawalan nila ng maturidad, na sisiyahan sila sa mga super apostol sa halip na makita nila yung kanilang pabor ay meron silang apostol sa katauhan ni Pablo. They were boasting that they were more than other churches. That's the Corinthian boast. Lamang kami sa ibang mga iglesia because we have the super apostles. Whereas Paul's concern is not that they see they have more. Paul's concern is for them to see they are not less favored. He did not count the super apostles as any favor at all. But he is clearly suggesting that any favor that is less than the apostolic word is deceiving. And that is something that we need to learn. Especially in our day, there are many attractive substitutes that can rob the church of the true favor in the world. Maraming umaagaw ng talagang pabor. At kagaya ng mga nangyari sa taga-Korinto, nag-uunahan ng mga tao sa inaakala nilang pabor, naiiwan ng talagang pabor ng Diyos para sa kanila. This is what happened in Corinth and it is still happening. Attractive substitutes flood churches today. Because of their immaturity, the Corinthian satisfaction was misplaced in the super apostles. Because of their credentials, their super abilities, their speaking gifts. And as Apostle Paul already indicated, these are all foolish boasting. But this pattern exists always as a temptation to the people of God. Even in the Old Testament, idolatry continued to be a tempting option for the Israelites. And they were called time and again to repent of that. Now, I think one prophet who gave a graphic description of what God's people are doing when they go to the substitutes is provided by God's word through Jeremiah in Jeremiah 2:13. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. In the territory of Palestine, the kind of geography they have, the choicest piece of land is that which has a fountain of living water, that is flowing water. Your supply is secure and the quality of water is excellent. And any person with the right mind would be fully, will do everything in order to secure that land. But what did Israel do in figurative terms? They abandoned the land with fountain of flowing water and instead went to the pieces of land with nothing but broken cisterns mga sirang balon at mga burak at putik ang pumupuno dito, ay anong matatawag mo sa ganung tao? Kamangmangan. They have the supply of excellent quality of water. Instead, they went to the cisterns. But that is exactly what people do when they abandon God, when they abandon the real favor of God's word, and proceed to satisfy themselves with substitutes, with broken cisterns. In Jeremiah's generation, this was manifested by the people's preference for the false prophets than Yahweh's prophet Jeremiah. You see, the false prophet's message was peace, peace, when there is no peace. Whereas Jeremiah's message was one that was unwelcome. Accept the Babylonian yoke. Ay, mahirap, masakit tanggapin yun. But you see, the clash was between the attractive and again the true. And listen again to the way God puts the contrast here in Jeremiah 9:23 and 24. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness. You see the key word that echoes 2 Corinthians, boast. The super apostles were boasting of their credentials. In the same way that wise men in Jeremiah's generation were boasting of their wisdom, the wealthy boasting of their wealth. In other words, this vulnerability to satisfaction in less than the real favor has pre-existed even the New Testament, and it perpetuates today. In the contemporary church, we see the satisfaction placed in many substitutes for the word. Nananatiling naghahanap sila ng kahaliling pakinabang, pabor. Money remains an intense magnet for the church's satisfaction. Money, after all, guarantees projects. I don't know why ministers today are falling over each other, competing for the attention of Bible-quoting Manny Pacquiao. I don't understand why churches are so intoxicated with power in politics. Or celebrity names. It would seem to them that if they could cite a celebrity as endorsing their ministry, it is their super apostle. But it is the same thing, the same principle. They love the feeling that politicians are begging for their endorsement. That is power. And for some ministers, it is not enough that they endorse. They must themselves run as politicians. So this is the current brand of super apostles today. Whether celebrities, entertainers, big names, politicians, money. Paul appeals to the Corinthians to refresh in their thought the real favor they have that is not less than others. That favor is in the fact that they have the apostolic word, that no less than the apostle Paul ministers to them, and they fail to see it because of their immaturity. That they are getting insight into the word of God through apostolic ministry. There is an apostolic word. They don't realize it because of the super apostles. Today is the anniversary of one of the most important archaeological discoveries. July 15, 1799, the troops of Napoleon in Egypt discovered what is now known as the Rosetta Stone. The Rosetta Stone is a key discovery in archaeology. It is a slab of stone I saw it in the British Museum. The first top is in hieroglyphics. The middle portion is in cuneiform. And the final bottom is in Greek. Now, experts, of course, can read Greek. But for thousands of years, nobody could read hieroglyphics. And then they studied. A French expert studied very meticulously until the code was discovered and hieroglyphics could now be read. And by the way, one of the discoveries was that hieroglyphics is a phonetic alphabet. That is, the characters represent sound rather than pictures. Noon, akala niya hieroglyphic because they are drawings, they represent objects. And the discovery was, no, they represent sound. And now, experts could read hieroglyphics. Suddenly, the thousands of artifacts from Egypt could now be understood, could now be read, and we could gain insight into ancient Egyptian culture, which is a very important subject in archaeology because of the Rosetta Stone. Now, the Bible gives us insight not into Egyptian ancient culture, but into the mind of God. That's what the apostolic word is providing us. That's favor. And imagine the Corinthians, because of their immaturity, abandoning that, the apostolic word, for the super apostles. The challenge to us as a church is esteem the proclamation and instruction of the word as our real favor as a church. Anong talagang pabor natin bilang iglesia ay ang pagpapahayag, pagtuturo ng salita ng Diyos. Of course, we do not have a living apostle today like Paul was to Corinth, but we have the written legacy of the apostles. And when the written legacy of the apostles is expounded, we are getting insight into the mind of God, into the will of Christ. Let other churches boast in their wealth or political influence. Apostle Paul's point is, we are not less favored when we have the word. And that's where the church should be seen around. On. It is around the word of God. The movement of the church should be around the word. The growth of the church should be measured by the word. When we say the church is growing, we do not simply mean members are being added, but rather we are talking about response to the word. That is a mature church that understands it is blessed and favored by the instruction of the word. The assembly of the church for worship is truly fruitful when we are challenged by the word. Tonight, when you close the Lord's day in the evening hours, what word lingers in your consciousness? You may have had good chats today, but without the word, you missed the favor. And what a waste it would be when the apostolic word is being ministered, and like Corinth, we are missing it. So watch your own brand of super apostles. They may be feelings, company, and when you are satisfied in them, it is deceiving. One of the reasons for the great influence of the ministry of Martin Lloyd-Jones when he became minister in Westminster Chapel in London was that he stuck to the centrality of the ministry of the word. And he was practically alone at that time. Everybody was into entertainment. And he showed that when the word is owned by God, it has its power that cannot be matched by entertainment. And brethren, that's our favor. Satisfaction in anything less than the word is deceiving. What is satisfying to you? when you attend the church, when you decided to be a member of the church, when you are pursuing your membership in the church, what is it that satisfies you? I hope that it is not anything less than the Word of God. That brings me to my second point. Contribution by everyone, for more of the Word is rewarding. Ang ambag ng bawat isa para sa pagsulong ng salita ay ginagantimpalaan. Look at Paul's irony here, or listen to Paul's irony. He said, I myself did not burden you. Forgive me this wrong. Of course, this is irony. Paul is not asking for an actual wrong that he has done to the church. Paul is going back to his stated policy that he was not going to receive support from Corinth because of their immaturity. And in fact, the word for wrong, forgive me this wrong, is the word for unfairness. And that makes it ironic because it is the Corinthians who are clearly unfair in their treatment of Paul and in their failure to be supportive. But Paul is turning this around just to highlight how immature the Corinthians are. But what it teaches us positively is that everyone in the church has something to contribute to the expansion of the word. Bawat isa sa iglesia ay may maiaambag para sa pagsulong ng salita ng Diyos. We do not believe and definitely do not practice pastoral monopoly in the ministry of the word. And our weekly routine is a witness to that. Because everyone has something to give in order that the word may expand in coverage. Now in the immediate context, Paul is rebuking the immaturity of the Corinthians in the matter of financial support. Now that remains a duty, and we have made messages in this series that highlighted that. That it is the duty of members to be part of what they contribute to the word through their giving. And since this is the text, it may be appropriate for you to challenge yourself. Does my giving reveal my glad contribution to the expansion of the word? Your giving is one of the manifestations of the words with which you esteem the word in the church. We do not practice close monitoring of the giving of the members. I have always maintained it is between you and your God. But if your giving is dictated by the esteem you have for the word, it should be manifested in its generosity. So how do we regard the word? Listen to Job in 23 verse 12. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. More than my necessary food, the words of God are more of a treasure to me. Now, if this were used as a scale of the giving of the miser, it would appear that to him, the word is just his junk food. That's just what he would give in the matter of the word. But more than our giving, it applies to the gifts and the time we spend and the testimony we leave so that we can contribute to the expansion of the word. The cause of Dolphy's death, it is reported, is organ failure. Of course, that's the ultimate cause, or the immediate cause rather. Andiyan na yung aging at pneumonia, but what ultimately led to death is organ failure. And that also will be the death of a local body of Christ. When those that constitutes the organs of the church cease to function, cease to contribute what they could give. So I challenge you, commit to be a participant in the ministry of the word and count it a favor from God. Yun ang nawala sa mga taga Corinto. They missed the real favor. They thought it's in the super apostles. And they failed therefore to contribute, to be supportive of the apostolic word, but we do not have that kind of blindness. We know where the word is, so commit to be a participant in the ministry of the word and count it a favor. If the Corinthians appreciated their favor, they would have no doubt been supporting Paul. They would have participated in the expansion of the ministry of the word. Well, I count myself blessed as a pastor that I do not see that Corinthian immaturity in our church, and I thank God for that. But you see, there may be periods when you feel the weariness, that there are sacrifices entailed by your participation. And that is when anyone can become vulnerable to the attraction of substitutes for the word. Periodically, we need to refresh that we are favored, that we should be called God's fellow laborers in the expansion of the word. If you count it a favor, well, sincerely utter gratitude to God for what you can contribute to expand the word. Perhaps now is the time for some of us to need, for us to refresh. You see, participation can erode into a job you force yourself doing. It may be a Bible study, Sunday school ministry, ministry to children, one-on-one counsel, comfort. In whatever ways you seek to minister, there can be a point of weariness. And that's when we need to have a perspective that the Corinthians lack. The real favor is in the ministry of the apostolic word. It could have been a different story for Paul in Corinth, but for our part, we can shape the story for our own church by the grace of God. And that is by being mutually supportive in the cause of the Word of God. One of the greatest ministerial partnerships in history was that between William Carey, missionary to India, and the more forgotten one of the partnership, Andrew Fuller. Andrew Fuller was the one who was left behind in England in order to arrange practical support for the missions in India. When Carey was going to India, and unlike missionaries today who have their regular furlough, when Carey set out for India, it was for good. He would not come back to England. He would die in India. But before they separated, William Carey told Andrew Fuller, "I will plumb the depths, but please hold the ropes. Sisisid ako sa kalaliman. Hindi niya alam ang mangyayari sa India. Pero sinabi niya kay Andrew Fuller, hawakan mo ang lubid." Of course, the figure is that as Carey would be the one to plumb the depths of the uncertainty in India, Andrew Fuller, left behind in England, must make sure he was doing his part of the contribution. And he did. He did excellently. And the mission of William Carey in India to this day is an exemplary pattern of doing missions in a foreign land. But don't forget the man who participated by his own contribution to the cause of the Word of God. You don't need to stand in the pulpit, but in many other ways, hidden or seen, you have your contribution to make. And it is rewarding. And that is something that I hope many of us can testify. Thank God for the participants, but participants should thank God that it is a favor to do so. Let us sing our last hymn, which is about the laboring man who, in many ways, find it wearisome to labor, and yet this hymn is a hymn of reminder and encouragement to go labor on, spend and be spent, and let it be our joy to do the Father's will. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos sa Ama, tulungan mo nga ang bawat isa sa amin, lalo kami bilang iglesia, na matutunan namin na ang tunay na pabor ng iglesia ay wala sa kayamanan, wala sa mga bagay na pinag-uunahan ng maraming mga pangkatin ngayon. Ito man ay sa politika, mga celebrities, entertainment, may we realize that it is not in any of this that the favor of the church lies. The real favor of the church is in the ministry of the apostolic word. For through the apostolic word, we gain insight into your mind, into your will, into your counsel. And this is indeed a privilege, a great favor. So may we be warned that satisfaction in anything less than the word is deceiving. May we not be guilty of what the immature Corinthians have done, running after the super apostles when the true apostle is right there in their midst. We pray for a proper understanding that the current crop of substitutes that call our attention cannot replace the favor that is ours in the Word of God. So grant, Lord, that we may truly esteem the ministry of the Word as our real favor, the favor of the church. May we learn to move around the Word, grow by the measure of the Word, and help us to resolve as a church that every one of us will have something to contribute to the expansion of the ministry of the Word. And may each one examine in what way he or she can contribute to the Word, including in the matter of giving. May our giving demonstrate that we treat the Word as a treasure. And yet, beyond giving, we are to be part of the expansion of the Word through our gifts, our time, our testimony. And we ask that we may do so with a realization that we are the favored ones. By serving in the cause of the Word, we are not giving you any favor, but you have given us the favor. So may there in our hearts be evoked a sense of gratitude that we could serve the cause of the Word. And may by your grace show the reward in the expansion of the Word to your glory and to the profit of your church. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.